From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Out on the upper Salmon River, a pair of forgotten apple trees have been growing sweet red and green apples for decades. The trees sit on an old ranch east of Riggins, and for a really long time, only bears were interested in the apples they grew. These big animals like the apples so much, they actually climb the trees in the fall and shake them to get at that sweet, juicy fruit. Well, now the Lost Apple Project has rediscovered these unknown apples as well as their fascinating history as they race against time to find lost genetic varieties of the fruit. So with us today is E.J. Brandt. He co-founded the Lost Apple Project. Can you just tell us a little bit about what the Lost Apple Project is?
The Lost Apple Project is a nonprofit organization under the wings of the Whitman County Historical Society that was founded in 2015 by David Benscotter of Chatteroy, Washington. The Lost Apple Project seeks to identify and preserve heritage apples and trees and orchards throughout the Northwest. And it is our responsibility right now to try to recover as many of these old apple trees that are still surviving in remote areas.
So what are your, let's say, two main goals of the Lost Apple Project?
Try to identify and hunt down the lost or extinct apple varieties. And once they are rediscovered, steps will be taken to repropagate the trees and make them available to the public again.
Mm-hmm. So, EJ, why is it important to have these diverse and different kinds of apples or frankly, any food crop?
Well, just like any food item, it'd be very boring to have a limited selection to choose from. Most of the earlier apples came from our European ancestors growing apples for one common reason, to have hard apple cider. The reason for this is that I believe in 1665 through 1667, Europe was hit very hard with the bubonic plague. And this was transferred by fleas. Europe had a nasty rodent problem about at that time. And this plague killed millions of people. So many people were dying that they could not bury them or dispose of them fast enough, so they were throwing bodies into the rivers, and this polluted the river systems and the aquifers for close to 300 years. When the immigrants migrated to America at that time, that same mental philosophy still came with them. When they came here, they thought that our rivers and our streams and our aquifers were polluted. So they continued to grow apple trees to make hard cider. But I would say within the late 1700s, early 1800s, different varieties were grown for eating so they can have a constant food source throughout the year. There were quite a few varieties. They had the early varieties, summer varieties, fall varieties, and the winter varieties. And this sustained them through the winter months until the following year, until the apple trees would bloom out and give them fresh fruit again.
How many different kinds of apples has your organization rediscovered so far?
Oh, my word. I believe my partner that started this in 2015, 3 years before I joined the organization, I imagine he's found 15 to 20 different varieties, and a lot of them were found on Steptoe Butte in Washington State, where there's over 800 apple trees on that butte right there. So, and the butte hasn't been thoroughly examined yet, but we're still working on that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the Polybemis apple. Where did you find it? But also, who was Polybemis?
Oh, the Polybemis apple, it's a medium-sized apple. It's red and green, has splotches all the way around it. The apple has intermittent dots and a rustic top and a bottom. It is a perfect eating apple that I sampled. I would say it has, 70% sweetness to 30% tartness. And it is a fairly early apple. It will ripen out around September 1st. And I try to get to this area before the black bears do, because they know when this tree ripens out. And as you said earlier, these animals would climb the trees, hook in their claws, shake the trees violently, and the apples would fall on the ground, and they would work their way back down the tree and just gorge themselves.
So they have very good taste, it sounds like, because this sounds like a great eating apple, as you said.
Oh, it is a fantastic eating apple.
So Polybemis, who was she, since this is who the apple is named after?
Polybemis was a Chinese folk hero from the early history in Idaho. She was born in northern China, I believe on September 11th, 1853, and forcibly taken to the Idaho Territory, a town called Warren, Idaho. She was sold to the Americas as a slave at the age of 19. She met one individual called Charlie Bemis. He was a very successful businessman, and he ran a highly successful saloon at that time. One day, a fight broke out between Charlie and the saloon patron, and the patron shot Charlie in the head, and the bullet fractured his skull and almost killed him. The doctor that was called in said, well, he didn't think that Charlie would live, but Polly took it on her own initiative to try to nurse him back to health, and she did. It took about 6 months, and he lived through the whole ordeal. Well, eventually, they were married in 1893, and shortly afterwards, they took up a homestead about 16 miles north of Warren, that's right on the Salmon River, where they established with their homestead. Then Charlie Bemis eventually passed away in 1922 from tuberculosis. And then she eventually passed away, in 1933. And she's presently buried on the property right there on the Salmon River.
Hmm. So when we talk about this, the apple, the Polybemis apple, is it likely that it grew just on its own, or was a tree just planted on purpose by humans and then the apple happened?
The way the apple trees are planted right now, presently on the property, I believe that they were deliberately planted. Now, how they got there, who brought them there, who sold them to the Bemises, I have no idea. Most of the apples on the property I have identified, but this one particular apple, which is the Polybemis, it was planted about 15 feet from the Poly Creek, where it can get maximum amount of water. Now, for about 5 years, I've been making frequent trips back and forth, picking these apples and sending them in to apple identifiers in Malawa, Oregon. Since they could not identify it, I had another source. I took a leaf sample, put it in a DNA tube, delivered it to Washington State University. It showed that it was a very unique variety that wasn't in any other databases worldwide.
Mm-hmm. And I know that your organization is really working frantically to try to find more of these varietals. Why is it so important to find them?
My goal is to make sure that the lost or the potentially extinct apples are brought back to people, that they're never lost in time again.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time today to talk to us about this project. We've learned so much. So really, thank you for your time, EJ.
I do appreciate your time as well.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.